Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Please, you may be seated. The Lord bless you in Jesus' mighty name. I welcome you to this beautiful month of remembrance. The Lord will remember you in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. But turn your Bibles with me very quickly to Hebrews chapter 12. And put your finger there and let's look at Acts chapter 3. Hebrews 12. I want to prepare someone today for the remembrance of God. He says, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Hebrews 12:2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Help me ask your neighbor, what are you looking at? Help me tap the next guy behind you. Help me tap and say, my neighbor, what are you looking at? Praise the Lord. He said, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning his shame, and sat at the right hand of the throne of God. Praise the Lord. What are you looking at? Acts chapter 3, and I read from verse 1. Acts chapter 3, you know the story. The Bible says, one day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful. He was carried to the temple gate called but Beautiful, but his life was ugly. Yes, his life was very ugly. Why? The Bible says where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Like many of us ask life for some things. Many of for you, this money may not be money you are asking for, but you are asking for something that money cannot buy. I don't know what you are asking for, but I know that as children of God, we ask God for something. You know, it's our right to ask God for something. It's the right of the children to ask God for something, isn't it? So, and they ask. Yeah, we ask. It's our right. But sometimes there are certain things that we consider important to us. We keep asking and we keep asking, but we don't get them. Does that make sense? And so, not that it is wrong, but hey, something just takes a little bit longer. Does that make sense? So, and he was asking. But so that means that he had a need. In this case, he was crippled. Which we can, by the Spirit of God, we can interpret to mean anything. He was physically crippled, right? But there are so many people who are not physically crippled, but they are crippled in one area of their lives, you know? They are crippled, you know? They've been defined by problems. I don't know if you've seen people like that. Once upon a time this was in 1997 when we just came into England, my wife was defined by a certain pair of shoes. I am not a theologian. It is the life that God has given me that has become my example in life. You know, we just came into England and I didn't have money to buy her a decent pair of shoes. So she had these loafers. I don't know what they call it in England, but where I come from, call it tennis shoes. And I had these nice Brooks that were well filed at the edges that it gave me a natural bow legs. You know, so. I remember one day somebody was trying to describe my wife, and they would say, "Don't you know that sister Bola?" I was listening to them. I said, "No, you don't know. That sister. She's like this. She's like that." Then somebody said, "You don't know that sister. That sister that wears tennis shoes." So she was described by her one and only pair of shoes. I don't know how you've been described, and I don't know how you describe yourself. And many of us describe ourselves somehow in the spirit. And we describe ourselves by our problems, or sometimes we describe ourselves by our needs, you know. And needs are very, very funny. You know, when you have a need, it doesn't matter the good things you are experiencing. The devil has a way of making you have all these good things going for you, but it's just this little thing here that doesn't just matter. You know, we were coming in this morning, and my wife was wearing this beautiful dress, you know, so. And so she came out of the car. Said, "Oh, it's drizzling." So we ran into the car, right? And then we came in her small car, the 2x2 car, you know. So and then my daughter came back, went to pick something from my own car, the nice car. So my daughter was picking something from my own car. I came back to her 2x2. So she had to come out from her car. so she can get into the back seat because it's a 2x2 door car, you know. So, and then she started complaining. I said, "Oh, no, I don't want to come out of this car because when rain drops into this dress, it changes color." So my daughter and I looked at her and said, "Huh?" Okay, so she quickly come out of the car. And I said, going. And she's going back to the car. And then we started driving. Then halfway through the journey, I said, this raindrop has dropped on this dress, and I don't know what's going to change color. I said, what kind of dress is that? I mean, is this just that cheap that you could break and will flip max on the car, you know? And then she was telling me to calm down. Why am I raising my voice? Why am I raising myself? Look at how beautiful this entire family is today. Look at how beautiful their day is. Look at how beautiful you look. And look at how handsome I look. And all we are talking about is a drop of rain on a dress. It's amazing how things work, you know? Just something. No, I didn't say that. That was going in my head. I didn't say that. But that was good. I was having that conversation with myself in my head. So all I heard was that, why are you raising your voice? I said, no, I'm not raising my voice. But that was what was going on in my head. Look at. Some people woke up with that. Some people have already fought this morning before they left home. Eh? So is it rain? We are going to start fighting again now. Start fighting rain. What is the matter now, eh? So anyway, Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And then Peter said, look at us. Look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. And then Peter disappointed him. He said, silver and gold I do not have. But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk. And he took him by the right hand, he grabbed him up, and you know the story. But he told him something. He said, look at us. That's what I'm asking you this morning. What are you looking at? What are you looking at? The Bible says, looking up unto Jesus. What are you looking at? To look is to rely upon. That's what it means. To look is to rely upon. When you look to somebody, you rely on such presence. To look. What are you looking at this month? This month that God is determined to remember you. What are you looking at? To rely on or upon somebody is to look to the person for help. So he says, you look at us and take your eyes away from your situation. So to look to God means to rely on God, to put one's confidence in him, not partially, completely. If God will remember you this month, you have to look to him. You have to look to him. That is, you have to rely on him. You have to put your trust in him totally for everything at all times. This month, for him to, you know, the greatest thing I find about Christianity is that there are so many conditions in this thing. There are conditions, there are criteria, there are, you know, and so don't let anybody fool you that there are no prerequisites to God's blessing. There is, and so that man would have gained nothing if he did not look unto them. He said, "Look unto us." So that is, you rest on him telling him you don't have power, this will not happen with your power, your knowledge, your intellect. You look unto him. I was saying on Friday, I said, one of my greatest secrets in life, I'm telling you, is my dependency on God. I look unto God. It doesn't matter how, where, what I have, what I have seen, where I have been. Sincerely, in my heart of heart, I look on to God. And that's what I wanted to challenge you today. That you look on to God this month of remembrance so that God will remember you. God only remembers those who look unto him. Praise the Lord. God only remembers those who look unto him. And so when you look unto him, you are saying you are seeking him. When you look unto God, you are seeking him. You are seeking his hand. You are, when you look unto to God, you are seeking his permission, you are seeking his authority. It is a state of heart. It is a state of heart that determines whether your prayers will be answered or not. It's a state of heart. You see, and that was the problem Jesus had with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he was looking at them. They had all the outward appearance of knowledgeable and spiritually sound people. But he looked at them, and he looked at them at their heart, but their heart was not looking at him. So he said, No. This is not it. And that is the definition of religion. When you go through the rites without your heart looking unto God. And anybody can go through the rites. We can go through the motions of coming to church. We can go through the motions of prayers. We can go through the motions of being Christian. We can go through the routine. But God judges us by how much our heart is fixed on him. He said, looking unto Jesus. That is looking unto. That is, he is our source. He's our source. He's everything. Our heart is fixed on him, the author, the perfecter of our faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. So you must look. I'm not talking about your vision. I'm talking about the state of your heart. Your state of your heart must look unto Christ for anything, for perfection to happen in your life. Church, that is what it means to be a true disciple. Amen. So in life, it is possible for now no man, and only God can help you. You see, it is possible for a man to have the means and the resources and everything to help you, but yet when it comes to helping you, things doesn't just happen. How many of you remember mommy's testimony on the last Sunday? I have this son. My son went to do IT security. He was Moji's brother, isn't he? And he said, but he met a guy who promised to get things working for him. But every time he calls this guy, it was one story or the other. The guy had the ability to help him, but he just won't show up. And so, it was faster at prayer time in England. And so she called the boy. I said, come, I don't care what you are doing. We are fasting and praying here. We are looking unto Jesus for 3 days visitation. And I told the boy, during the prayer, I saw her, you saw her kneeling down here. And then, can you imagine somebody is leaning down and then had her mobile phone up like that? So initially I was saying, this is it. I don't know what kind of prayer this is. Prayer, but I said, well, let me come and stay here. But she was praying. And I looked at her with a mobile phone, and it was on, and she was praying. And that was a mother's heart looking unto Jesus for divine intervention for a man who is 6,000 miles away. And in those 3 days, she got a phone call. Just let me tell you, anybody's thing works. It works. Yeah, she got a phone call saying the boy, and the boy said that night he made up his mind, was going to call the guy one more time, and then he called the guy, and the guy answered the phone, and then they went and signed the contract. So the boy was now telling his mother, when you come back home, you will know that you have a son. You all heard the testimony. So what are you looking at? Amen. So, God does not need anybody's help. Look unto him. God does not need anybody's help. Yet, we all need God's help. It is God's help you need. Look unto him. In every area of life, this month, I'm sure many of you, if you are like me, will say, okay, well, have I done this? Have I done that? Oh, yeah. Have I done this one? I need to see, get this one done. God does not need anybody's help. And you serve a living God. But everybody needs God's help. Your God does not need the help of any man. And so when we look up to him for help, he helps us. This is why we keep coming to hear and get faith and receive faith and hear the faith by the word of God and keep hearing and hearing and hearing. That is the reason why every year, every day we still serve God, we hold on to our faith. Why? Because only our God can help us in every area of life. He's the one that will help us secure ourselves. He is the one that will help us raise our children. He's the one that will bless our business. He's the one we've heard testimonies upon testimonies. If we don't know, I mean, the kind of testimonies we hear in this church, if not that we are committed to grounding people in the word, if we take the testimonies we have on fire and we create a 30-minute program on TV, just playing those testimonies, you will come here one day, you will have a place to sit. You understand what I'm saying? But we want to ground, we want you to be the miracle worker, not the miracle seeker. Are you listening? That's what we are telling you. Your God is the one that can help you. Your God is the one that can help you go through, and listen very carefully. The fact that we serve God does not mean that we won't go through our turbulence in life. But our God keeps us steady, and his angels fasten a seatbelt as we go through temporary turbulence in life. Amen. It's a turbulence, it's not a crash. It's a turbulence. I say it's a turbulence and it's not a crash. So your God is the God that helps you, and he can help you. So look up to him. Look up to him. Look up to him. When we look up to him for help, he helps us beyond our own ability. He says that God will do exceedingly and abundantly and above all you can ever ask or imagine. When your heart looks up to him, he will help you beyond your own measure. I have seen God do some things in my life that I too just look back and I say, this is God. This is God. The help of God. Please, I want to challenge you this month. Set your heart to look unto him. Set your heart to look unto him. God visits those whose heart look unto him. Set your heart to look unto him. To wear a ring and say, I'm a husband, it's neither here nor there. Set your heart to look up to him. Let him make you a great husband. Set your heart to look up to him. Let him make you a great father. Set your heart to look up to him. Let him make you a great professional. Praise the Lord. Your God can make you a great professional. Your God can make you a great business person. Your God can make you a great father. He can make you a great wife. He can make you a great mother. Your God can make you a great resident. There is not one thing too big for my God to do. He is Jehovah. He provides for his people. But set your heart to look unto him. I have done 2 relocations in my lifetime. I have seen God suspend the law of a nation just for my sake. Let's set your heart. Set your heart. Set your heart. Set your heart to look unto God. Set your heart to look unto God and prepare yourself for his remembrance. Proverbs 3, chapter, verse 5 says, Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. This is the most difficult thing for the 21st century born-again Christian living in England can do, because he's too wired with information. Too wired with information. They have political information, economical information, they have parental information, they have school information. Everything is system. There is financial system, there is a school system, there is a hospital system, there is too wired. And so you have to pray and say, Lord, give me the grace to look up to him. You see, and they look up to him and they were not ashamed. Your understanding is cluttered. I have this relative of mine. who went to see the doctor one time, you know. And so, before she went, she had Googled all the ailments, everything that she went. She Googled the whole thing, I'm telling you. It got there. After paying 500 quid to see the specialist, doctor say, she said, B. He said, no. Are you sure? And she was running. The woman has put £500 into her pocket, And then you are speaking grammar. The woman was looking at her. I also said, so what do you think? He said, well, according to Google. And then they went, when she came back, I said, so how did it go? He said, bros, I gave it to her. I said, you gave it to her? What did you give? He said, bros. I told her, she doesn't know what she's doing. This thing, I told her, I read this one, she made the suggestion, I gave her a counter suggestion. I said, hey, my £500. Many of us are like that. You have inherited an understanding that is not required for God's help. The understanding you have is not a requirement for where God wants to take you. He said, dump that understanding. It is useless in the light of what I have in stock for you. Dump it. Dump it. Dump it. You have your own financial system. He said, I have my own financial system. He said, dump your understanding. Dump your understanding. Get rid of that thing. He said, well, how are you? How? I spent £10,000 doing an MBA. I should dump my understanding. It's okay, well, keep your MBA. Run your business based on your MBA. If you need me, I'm here. And start doing your MBA. Start doing your SWOT analysis. Start doing your SWOT KPI. After years of KPI, and you'll be in this. I mean, some people in the morning. Those who are, you know, they just pick up the newspaper. They will read the newspaper, everything from head to toe. I don't know what they're looking for. And then they have a way of, it's like, oh, have you seen those people? Yes. Yeah, they have a compulsory something disorder. I don't know what it is. Those big newspapers, they read them, and then they will fold it. They will stretch the end out like that, and they will sharp, and I will fold it into two, and I will start reading again. And I'm like, what are you reading? Then I said, now go to the stocks shares. Start looking at the penny shares, penny stock. 2001, I had a friend, right? He was investing in stocks and shares. 2001, my mate, my friend, every time he'll be checking, read indices. When the thing, I said, one day I came, I said, what are you studying? He said, I'm studying Charles Schwab. Schwab. I said, who is that? He said, Eddie. This one is going up now. It's going up now. Look at Eddie. Eddie. That was how it was going up now. And the thing crashed. Yeah, I lost over £50,000. Not lira, sterling. Hey, £50,000. Yeah? Exactly. But he said, so you have a degree, Mr. MBA. But he said, you don't need that thing. He said, but if you look up to me, I can tell you when it is going up. I can tell you when it's coming down. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. In 1999, everybody was fighting for promotion at work. And I sensed in my spirit it was time to go. I knew it was time to go, but I was afraid. So I started seeking God's face, and then God gave me a word, revelation, like we shared in first service today. You all, if you're not here, you get the message. So, after I left, barely 6 months after I left, 700 people were made redundant. They gave them, what do you call that package? Yes, you take the severance. But they have severed their confidence. There's no severance package that can mend the what do you call it? The self-esteem that they deal you with when you are. But I left. You see, my understanding of the employment system and the GDP of England and the what and the industry certification program, what a load of rubbish, did not tell me, told me to stay. But the Holy Ghost told me to go. So I left. Left with my huge confidence. They stayed and they kissed them bye-bye. It says, lean not on your own understanding. It says, look up to me. The system I have for you is better than this world system. But it's a big challenge because you are too gifted. Too gifted to succeed. Your knowledge is too much. You know too much. It was Dr. Roberts was sharing something with me. He said something. He said, England. He said, interesting. He said, you know something, Pastor Eddie, about England, the difference between England and America? I said, no. He said, they are groomed to criticize. They are groomed to criticize. So they feed you so much information, enough for you to critique anything without creating anything. So you carry that same mind. It is the same head, the same mind, the same body that comes to Jesus. It's the same. It's the same. Did you drop your degree when you were coming to Jesus? Did they suck your knowledge away from your... Exactly. It's still in there. But Jesus is saying, you don't need that here. So you are at war now. The war of the spirit and of the soul. Your soul wants to draw that information from the database, but God is saying, suppress that information. I don't need it. If you need it, then I back off. If you submit to me, then I give you my own. You see, he's a tough one. That's why you must learn to grow as a disciple. Because many of you are carrying legacy systems. Okay, only the IT boys will understand this one. You are carrying legacy systems. Amen? You are carrying old systems. That system is not required here. The Holy Ghost is complete in itself. Fresh database of the Lord. No data migration. He doesn't need it. New data. Exactly. Chapter and verse. Looking to God implies trust. Trusting him that he will do and he can do what he says he will do. He can do it. You look and fix your gaze on God because you know that he can do it. You know that he can do it. 1999, God told me, leave your home and go to Cyprus. I went home and I got ready, kissed my wife bye-bye and said, okay, I'm going. Where are you going to? I said, I'm going to Cyprus. Have you been there before? I said, no. Do you have family there? I don't have family there. Why Cyprus? Because God said. Told my father, Daddy, I'm going to Cyprus. He says, my son, wait, why Cyprus? That they are afraid about it. I think God wants me to go to Cyprus. Are you serious? Yes. Okay. All right. But it's not Cyprus. I say yes. But your cousin just got deported 6 months ago. But Daddy, I don't know what my cousin did in Cyprus, but I am going to Cyprus. Okay. Which one will you prefer? I have uncles in America, the ones that my father sent to school. Yes. Oh, I had uncles in Germany. My father's younger brother was he's still a sailor. My mind says, go and look for American visa and love it. No, he said, but I say I hear Cyprus. And then I looked at the map of Cyprus and I saw it next to Turkey. I said, no, this can't be God. This is Cyprus. Turkey is the other people's nation. Is that an Islamic nation? I thought. I said, then look at. Then I see Israel here. It's only fight, they fight in that land, they're throwing stones. God, this can't be God now. No, it can't be God. No, this can't be God. And I heard again, it is God. It is God. How will you send me to Cyprus? America. America is there. No, Australia, America, Canada, England. You didn't send me. Why? Cyprus. Why? He said, but that's the one. So do you know what it is? So what he's saying, trust me and suspend this, your geographical analysis that you are doing. So I bought a ticket for Cyprus. And I could, which of you will leave a brand new wife? I mean, many of you can't even leave your wife at home and come to church alone. You know there are some men like that. Until the wife comes to church, he can't come to church. It's true. He might never be a pastor. Whether he's afraid that they will steal her before she comes. So if you're a man, you're like that, it means that your wife is your prized possession. But just remember, thou shalt not worship any other god apart from you. God gave her to you as a gift. Don't turn her against. Don't. And my daughters, please, don't allow any man make you an idol. He said, are you going to church today? No, I'm not going. Okay, me too, I'm not going. Say, please go. please go. Isn't it? That huge responsibility now. Abby, wait, you. He said, where's bros? He said, are you going? I'm not going. Okay, me too. If he says me too, please open your eyes and say, please. Please, I'm going now. Yeah, because you cause trouble in that house. Because you know why is trouble? Because you shall worship. I will teach you about that one sometime in the future. You will worship any other god, no other god beside me. The day you say I'm not going to worship God because my wife or my husband is not coming, you've drawn the line. It's not all troubles that come from the devil. Many come from Jehovah. Say please. All right? So, looking to God when in trouble or when in need implies your dependence and trust in Him to see you through life and to deliver you. It shows that you cannot do it yourself. This boy is the weakest boy I have ever known. This man speaking to you is the weakest, defenseless, mentally defenseless guy I have ever known. I am the least intelligent person that I know. And I'm not joking when I say that. I'm not joking, and I'm not saying that to please you. Only those who, and maybe my wife and those who around me understand the lack of confidence I have in my natural self. Only those. And you have to be with me for a long time to understand my natural handicap. It's a handicap. But I liked it that way. Amen? It's a handicap. Many of you are fighting to be confident in yourself. I don't want to be confident in myself. No. No. Everything I do, I still do out of fear. I've been preaching out of fear for 11 years. I've been speaking at seminars and business seminars out of fear for many years. Many years. My dependency is on God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So if Paul and Silas were to struggle, they would not have overcome. They would not have overcome. He said, trust me. Do not lean on your own understanding. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. And they trusted the Lord and they praised him and give praises in a cell, in a limitation. And in the Middle East, when they jail you, they jail you. We went to where they kept Jesus the night before he was crucified. I mean, that thing is like this. Like this little box. With stocks. So we went to where they put Paul and Silas. It's horrible. In that state, their dependency was still on God. You are not even in physical chains. You're not. Dependency is on God. And they were singing praises. I have seen a husband and wife fight and separate because the man did not allow her to choose the kitchen, the sofa in the kitchen, and he did not. Wait, I told no. These are crazy people, Christians. They say when they are separate ways, they couldn't agree on what color the kitchen should be, and so they fought over Dulux. Or is it Dulux? Crazy. That's how much your understanding does to you. Messes you up. Fought over. That doesn't happen. Why does it happen? Carry the paint. Carry the paint. Paint it black. Paint everything black. Are you listening? Your understanding. I'm telling you, we need to purge this information you have in your mind. It is limiting you. It is, you know what? Now, if you're not a Christian, it's okay. You can gamble your way through life, isn't it? But when you say you are a Christian, there has to be a change over. There has to be a switch over. A switch over from your knowledge to a switch. Even if you read it in school, you still go to him and say, Jehovah, thank you. You even gave me the brains to study it in school. I used to have a friend. His name was Shehu Awudu. The guy, Fikemba, and Admas. Physics, chemistry, biology, and Admas. Shehu doesn't talk to anybody. Well, he still go to class in A1, 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 test, A1, this, A1. Nobody struggles for first position with Shehu. My wife is the last 10 we are fighting for. Forget all this one. But 3 weeks to exam time, Shehu came to the cafeteria, in the refectory, was a boarding school. All of a sudden, Shehu, are you okay? He said, we told our friends, oh boy, Shehu don't finish this exam. That is, Shehu has finished this exam. In fact, he has seen the paper. And that thing he's muttering is the solution to the But little did we know that Shehu has lost his mind. So when you have a degree, it is because of him you got that degree. How dare you refer to that degree for information? I would rather refer to the man who gave me the mind to get the degree. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So your degree and everything you have is a shadow. The one behind it is the reason why you hide in the first place. So why are you consulting shadow? You think everybody went through it and came out the same way? Does your paper has power? Does it have power? Exactly. So why are you now consulting the information that came from paper that has no power? Does that make sense? Logical? Is it logical? So forget your systems. It says, lean not on your own understanding. I have my own system that can support you. And the system is based on the word. Look on to me. So they told the gentleman, he said, I don't care what you have heard about all these guys going through this place, coming to the temple. But look to us. Look at me. Look at me. And secondly, and it's not cash I'm giving you. Right? That's the same mistake other people are making. But I'm going to give you something better than cash. Amen? So grabbed him by the hand. Set his expectation. Realigned. So in that split second, he taught him to dump his database. And he took up a new database. And then he grabbed by the hand. And the moment he grabbed by the hand, the new database kicked into effect, isn't it? And it was churning out chapter and verse in the man. The guy woke up and then, you know. So you stay grounded until you learn to trust. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You submit to him in every area. This lifestyle is better. It's better. It's better. Rest your feet and let us pray.